Welcome to
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the world according to Velvet. This is Velvet reporting live from planet Earth here at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. We're conjunct the center of the Milky Way galaxy here at Rocks and Things. Today is Friday the 13th, 2015, and I was thinking that today as a 13-4 is a powerful day. It has already started off as a very powerful day for me because I got up at 3 a.m. this morning and I did my sadhana with some beautiful people from our community. And then I went home, grabbed something to eat really quick, and then was a part of a pipe ceremony to bless land that is going to be, at this time, we think is going to be used for a community sweat lodge, an open lodge, that will be run by a man who has been given the rights to do the sweat lodge in his tradition, which is Lakota Dakota, and that he will help bring our community together and connect to each other and to connect to the land and to the spirits that are here to help us. So it was really beautiful to be a part of that. And that was, I was done with that by 10 a.m. And so my day has already been full, and I am just so grateful for Friday the 13th. And if you're not aware, Friday the 13th, if I remember correctly, is associated with October 13th. I can't remember the year, but it was when the Pope planned to round up all of the Knights Templar and I was going to say persecute or prosecute for crimes against the church or against the state. And so I think today, as a open act of rebellion against the patriarchy. Okay, I'm not going to rebel against. I'm about integrating. But in honor of the goddess, that's what the 13 is associated with. And that's why our culture has made us afraid of the 13th floor. And the 13 is a ill-omened number. I take that back. I deny that is true. And in fact, when I look at the numerology book, it's called the Spiritual Light Vibrations numerology book, 13-4 has, it's a karmic number, actually. Let me find it real quick. I should have been on top of this. Okay. 13-4. Okay, here's what 13-4 means. Rebels against the old. Brings in new and wonderful forces. Transformation and release, change, cooperation, harmony, responsibility, firm foundation, practical, organized, disciplined, hard worker, planner. That's somebody who has that. The 13-4 is one of the most misused and misunderstood vibrations of this age, as it has been misinterpreted. It is the beautiful high concentration of the two masculine numbers, 1 and 4, and the vibrations give direction, decisiveness, and aggressiveness, and stimulated creative individuality in self-expression and ambition. Purpose and goal of this vibration is to bring spiritual insights into expression and into practical form and structure. To do this, we must rid ourselves of the old and rebuild for the new, a transformation. Okay, I'm going to cut that short because I think I have somebody calling me right now, and I'm going to see if I can get them on the line. Okay, Jen Kobe is out there, our traveler in South America. Let's see, are you there, Jen? Are you there, Jen? Okay, I'll see if I can figure out how to do this. So, I don't know, Jen, if you're out there and you can hear this, call me again. I'll try and call her again. Anyway, so 13-4, it's only appropriate that this is a number that has got a lot of kick to it. And today, or this week, it almost felt like this week was very, it reminded me a lot of the week in which the, in 2011, I think it was, when the earthquake in Indonesia, I think it was Indonesia, when the Fukushima disaster occurred. It feels like it's that kind of power. And so I think it was Wednesday in which Mars conjuncted Uranus, and now I think today or tomorrow it's square Pluto. It felt like a fuse was lit. And for some of us, that fuse is long, and for others, the fuse is short. And wherever this fuse is leading, it's igniting the energy that sort of began, or this is what it feels to me like anyway. I haven't looked at the astrology to confirm any of this, but it's igniting the sort of the seeds that were planted at the time of that earthquake. And so I remember that Uranus was at 29 degrees Pisces at the time of the earthquake, and it was just about to move into Aries. And there are a bunch of people who said Uranus in Aries is related to the individual expression of the Christ consciousness. Okay, and one astrologer, my friend Robert Phoenix, he talked about how to him this energy meant that we are being sparked to put ourselves out there, to act in the world that is in a way that is in alignment with the soul. And so I think that the next, probably 2 weeks is a lot of it. At the time of the Fukushima, I was studying my calendar at the time, and I was looking outside of myself for some of this stuff to happen out in the world. And so I think the explosiveness of things may be an internal lifeblood, because Aries is sort of this individual. Sure, there's a collective aspect to Aries, but I'm thinking it's an internal trigger for us, and it can be explosions are always bad, right? Because I think Aries is a cardinal energy, so the explosions that are going to happen over the next week or so, or maybe even depending on how long your fuse is over the next, you know, through this equinox season until the fall, I think these explosions will bring growth and possibly new directions for us. And again, we each have our own individual aspect. In my chart, personally, Aries is in my fourth house, and that is about home. And I think I have always struggled to take proper care of my home, I say, because I'm always out gadding about in my community, and so I neglect things at home. And I think I still haven't figured it out that I just, if I need to just allow that's who I am, or if there's, I do get out of bounds. So I need to allow that's who I am, but also know that my home is also my sanctuary. And so if I'm not taking care of it, or if I'm not home, I can't find the solace in my sanctuary. It's a balance for me. So, I don't know. I'm going to carry on to the next conversation. So one of the things I'd like to let you know about going on here at Raxity is that we've got some things coming up next week. Of course, we have our Kundalini Yoga, which we've been doing. You know, we had a kids' yoga class. We changed the time of that on Sunday. And then I also teach a preschool yoga here at 10 o'clock on Thursday, which is coming back to 10 to accommodate sleepy children, napping children. I've also just started a yoga class over at Rejuvenate in Columbia Falls. It's a after-school yoga. We're kind of just letting it flow to see who all wants to participate, but there was even a mother who came who was born with a, and it sounds like she's in constant pain and has struggled a lot,
And she sat in a chair, did what she could, and visualized herself doing what she couldn't. She visualized herself doing it, and she, like, almost broke down in tears with how much better she felt. And so that class in Columbia Souls may evolve into a community yoga class. We're just kind of playing by ear, so any input on that would be great. It's really fun to be with the kids. I love the kids, and I know that a lot of my work on this planet is to support the new generation coming to the planet in finding healthy coping mechanisms to deal with the craziness of this world. So anyway, Renee is still teaching her Kundalini yoga at 9 a.m. on Tuesday and 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday. We are continuing with our crystal bowl meditation at 8 p.m. on Wednesdays. That's been going really well. And so we're also going to have an additional crystal bowl meditation on Friday the 20th at 7 o'clock. Okay, because Friday the 20th is the equinox. It's the equinox, it's a new moon, and it's a total solar eclipse. I am going to, in honor of the equinox, we're going to do the crystal bowl meditation. The class that Terry, Cito, and I did for our vision boards, we're going to meet together with our vision boards and plant some seeds for these visions to come in at 6. If you have a vision board and you'd like to participate in that, bring your completed vision or a blessing, I might say. Then we do sadhana here at 4 a.m. on Friday. And if you're at all interested in sharing in the energy of the Aquarian Age sadhana for the eclipse, please join us. It is powerful, just the fact that we get together, but I get the sense that this eclipse and doing yoga and praying in the eclipse is going to be especially powerful. And I would also like to end my first chair yoga on Friday for 2 hours from 7 to 9, and we're going to do long ekankars for 2 hours. So we'll tune in and then we'll do it until 9. If you would like to join us, if you can't come to yoga, if you can't come to sadhana, join me Friday at 7 a.m. I know I'm a morning kind of girl, so that's when I do my biggest, powerfulest, most potent spiritual work. So come and join us on the equinox for that. I am also doing my posture class. The last few posture classes, they're Saturday at 9 a.m. 30. The posture classes are, they've been a lot about your voice. They've been about speaking in a group, or singing or toning. It was a really funny experience because we did a posture, and while we did a posture, we also toned or chanted. And we were, the ancestors were all around us. I really felt mine. And I had an ancestor show up this is the story, okay? So if it's true or not, it's archetypal, and I'm accepting it as archetypal, if nothing else. That there's a man, and his mother was a powerful healer, spiritual and physical, and I think she worked a lot with the plants. That's kind of what I get. And she was actually arrested for being a witch, and they were burning her. They were going to burn her, and there's a whole crowd of people around her, like chanting, burner, burner, burner. And her son, in order to basically keep the gift safe, he had to deny her. He had to pretend that he was okay with her being burned. And so when we were standing in the pot. Well, I wasn't standing because I was playing the bowls, but while they were doing the posture and they started chanting and singing, all that wanted to come out of my voice was, my mouth was, "She's innocent. She's innocent." He never had the courage to say in the midst of a crowd that she was innocent. And I think that has been one of my challenges, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who struggles with this, that in a group, when the whole group is gathered together for a certain point of view and there's one person who doesn't agree, it takes a lot of courage to voice an opinion that goes against the status quo. And I think with this Uranus Aries and Mars in Aries, and then plus this square between Pluto and Uranus, it's the last one of a series that began in 2012, I think it's really important that we be able to say our opinion, speak our opinion, even if we're the only one in 1,000 people that that believes that, because I think that is part of moving away through the Aquarian Age, that every individual has a perspective that needs to be shared. And I think because of past karma or collective trauma, we do not speak up when we need to, because we are afraid of either being killed or shamed for an opinion that the collective or the group doesn't agree with. I think it is critical for our survival that not only because it's important for us as individuals to speak our truth, but I think part of the Aquarian Age is that every perspective needs to be heard and needs to be honored, and it is through hearing everyone's perspective. I mean, really hearing, really listening, no judging. You know, it's okay to watch what comes up when somebody you don't agree with says something, but it's about expanding our awareness so we can understand that every perspective spoken gives us a broader sense of what needs to be done. And so I think this next couple of weeks is gonna, that's part of it. And maybe that's just me personally, and I'm projecting onto the collective, or as a Pisces, it might happen into the collective and personalizing it. So the other thing that's happening is that seems really significant to me, that, you know, it's just the world according to Velvet. That's why we called it the show. The interesting thing to me is that the last final square, Uranus in Aries and Pluto in Capricorn, is on March 17th. And I have a personal interest in this because I am writing a novel right now. Yes, a novel. We'll see how big a novel it is. Actually, it could be a whole series on the history of the universe and the world according to Velvet. It's a novel about an ancestor of mine who was the last pagan king of Ireland. I've written about him. In fact, I'm going to repost my blog on him. King Nail, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. But anyway, King Nail was the last pagan king of Ireland. He was the last king to go through the pagan rites of kingship. And the pagan rites of kingship required that in order to become king, you had to first prove that you would put the needs of the people above your own selfish interests. You needed to prove that you could gain the blessing of the god or the divine masculine, and you had to receive the blessing of the sovereignty. That was the goddess that bestowed the blessing of kingship upon the king, according to this Irish pagan tradition. And King Nail was the last one who went through that rite of kingship, and something happened, and I get the sense he broke his vows of fealty to the goddess, and as a result of his trauma that caused him to break his vows of fealty, he brought a curse upon Ireland. Some people don't see it that way, However, I think that's why I'm speaking this, because there's going to be a lot of people who, if they listen to this, are going to agree with me, and I'm okay with that. I don't care about if you think I'm wrong or right. It doesn't matter. This is just a perspective. So anyway, something happens to him, and he's traumatized, and he goes against his heart, and he goes against the truth in his heart and his connection to the land and his people. So he becomes a marauder. They called him King Dale of the Nine Hostages. And what he does is he goes across the sea to Britain, and I think France too, and he kidnaps people and bring them back to Ireland, and they're slaves. They become slaves. And so one of the Ireland that he kidnapped was the man who would later be known as St. Patrick. Now, the interesting thing about St. Patrick is his father and grandfather were in the church. They were bishops or something. They were kind of in the church. And when St. Patrick was kidnapped, he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't devout. And I think he maybe just played lip service to Christianity. But then, because of his experiences and how the Druids treated him, he became to hate the Druids. And according to my novel, by that time, the patriarchal influence had started to invade the Druidic traditions, and they were kind of losing the goddess. And so they were abusive. And he hated the Druids, and he said that God came to him in a dream and told him to leave where he was enslaved, and if he would go to the coast, there would be a ship waiting for him. There was. So he's on this ship, and in order to get the passage that he desired, I think he kind of became an indentured servant or a slave again. So it took him a while to get back to his home, but when he did, he became a Catholic priest. And he went back to Ireland to drive the Druids out of Ireland. And by the time he got back, King Dale had already died. And his nephew was the king. And St. Patrick offered the king baptism, and he accepted. So the nephew was the first Catholic king of Ireland. And then St. Patrick went to all of Nail's according to the story, he had 12 sons. And those who didn't accept the baptism, according to the story, King Nail, he cursed them that they would not, it had to do with not being royal, not being king, okay? He also cursed a really sacred place in Ireland, and I'm not going to pronounce this right, I'm sure. It's called the Hill of Uisnech, okay? The Hill of Uisnech, according to the mythologies, is the navel of Ireland. And it is this navel of Ireland, it's the umbilical cord that connects the island, the land, the people to the goddess. And that hill was cursed. In May, I have the opportunity to go to Ireland. And a few years ago, a woman who she taught me to read the Akashic Records, she did a reading on me, and she said, well, you know, Velvet, you're going to take the snakes back to Ireland, okay? And, you know, if you know the mythologies, the same mythology of St. Patrick, who drove the snakes out of Ireland. Well, I thought a little about what she said, and I've had some very interesting experiences that maybe I'll get into before I go on my trip, and it's tied to snake medicine, a South American man told me that snake medicine, according to their tradition, helps my understanding. Irish and their use of alcohol, and how when St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland, Druids out, he drove out that Earth Day, he took away a coping mechanism, you might say, or a healing path for grief for the Irish. And as a result, this time, over 1,000 years, probably over 1,500 years, the Irish have in another sacred spirit, according to some traditions, whether it's the hops, the sacred spirit of hops, or the sacred spirit of barley, the Irish have been seeking help for their grief and their loss, and somehow, according to this woman, my destiny is tied to bringing that healing ability back to Ireland. I don't know what that's going to look like. So the other thing that this woman told me that I have been thinking a lot about as I prepare for my trip to Ireland is that there is a crystal skull in Ireland, okay? And there was a woman in here last week she was on the radio show. She said the crystal skull is already out, okay? I don't know if that's true. You know, I used to believe everything everybody told me, right? So is there even, I don't know, energetic about a crystal skull that I am supposed to find over there. And again, I don't know what this means. Maybe it's the crystalline structure within myself, right? That star knowledge that, the whole idea that we're moving from a carbon-based life to a crystalline-based life. Maybe that's what will happen for me on some level, energetic, or I doubt physical. But who knows? Who am I? I'm a doubter. But I get the sense that there is something about the crystal skull energy that I will come to understand or perceive in Ireland, and that I'll have information for you on that as we go along. I feel like there is a lot that is coming for me as I prepare for this trip to Ireland. And one of the interesting things, you know, I run the risk of becoming obsessed, if you haven't figured that out already, but I run the risk of about becoming obsessed about things, but it is this kind of like I'm like a dog with a scent. I just got a beagle, and I think this is part of why I got the beagle medicine now, is that I get a scent, I get a clue, you might say, tied to my destiny or the collective, and I won't let it go until I why that information or that clue has come to me. And so I think this ancestral work that I'm going to do there is not just tied to me. Because the thing about this King Nail, after he had his whatever happened with him and the goddess, which I don't want to give away that story yet, because it's at least in my story, I have an idea of what happened. But he sired a lot of children, and in fact, of all Irish males, all of Irish descent are descended from him. That is well, people. And so, and that's just men. We're not that are descended from him. And the gift that those that carry his blood on the feminine side, what is that about? That's kind of the spoiler in my story that I'm going to share with you right now. But I'm just planting the seeds of interest for you. So I guess I have less than a minute, and so I would just like you to think, whether you're Irish or not, if you use the land to support you in dealing with your grief, if you use other coping mechanisms that don't serve you anymore, if you are ready now to find other avenues, especially I think the big puzzle for us in dealing with our grief and loss, if you're ready to seek resolution of your grief so that you can be reminded of who you are, stay tuned, because I have an interesting story to tell you, and as the storyteller, I can't wait to see how this story unfolds for me, for you, for our collective. So as this fuse of spring is lit, the energy of Mars, the red man, the energy of Uranus, the electrician, and the energy of Pluto, the transformer, from birth, death to rebirth. May this process be beautiful and graceful. This is Velvet, reporting live from Planet. Over and out.